Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Body, hi, welcome, happy Christmas Eve to everyone. We're going to go into this last resort. It's the last time we're going to talk before the holidays, so I hope everybody's having a wonderful Christmas, leading up to Christmas, whatever holiday you're celebrating. We're going to talk about this last resort episode before we close out this holiday season. Hi, let's see here. Hi, Paul. See, yeah, we're gonna get into episode 4. What's up, TJ? Give me one second. Wait, Gina's here. Gina, I didn't think that you were gonna have service where you are. So, howdy, Gina. How are you? How's your vacation going? I know you. Are you there yet? I know you had a really long trip ahead of you. Hi, Jal. Hey, TJ. Hi, Gina. What's up? Let me see.
Here too. What's up, Pineapple? All right, so we're going to get into this episode 4 of The Last Resort, which was sex therapy, right? So, hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello.
All right, I'm trying to find my notes here. Hold on one second.
Okay.
So, episode 4 of The Last Resort. Wait, I'm almost there. Almost there. Scrolling. and talk amongst yourselves. I'm almost there. All right, here we go. Yeah, so we're the sex therapy episode. What's up, Pineapple, Mao? Gina says, Merry Xmas, everyone. The flight is about to take off. Can't wait to be back on the regular schedule programming. Enjoy your trip, though. We can't wait to have you back, but enjoy your trip. Everybody deserves a little time off. Oh, so Pineapple, new co-host. No, if you guys have been following me for a really long time, this is one of my first co-hosts ever. Right? I think you guys know Marshawna as my very first co-host. And then Heather was like it was Marshawna and Heather. And this was, oh my God, we're going back like 4 years, like to the very, very beginning of when I first started ever doing podcasts. Heather was with me back then. So this is not a new co-host. This is a revisit from a seasoned person who's been with me for a long time, but she's actually been gone for a long time too. So to some of the new people, you might be new, but you're not new. You're not new for the show. You've been around. You were on the show before it was the George Massey show. Actually, you were just when it was just the podcast that we were doing. So yeah, it's been a hot minute, but yeah. Let's get into some last resort talk.
Okay.
So Natalie had a chance to talk to the doctor, Dr. Keller, about some of her past stressors, traumas, and triggers. And we learned that Natalie was bullied by girls when she was younger. And she kind of feels like that's how she lashes out against women now. Like it's like a trauma response to when these girls were super, super nasty to her. So I wanted to, she says, hi, Heather. When I saw the bun, I thought of Dee Dee. Before I minimize the text window. No, this isn't Dee Dee. This isn't Dee Dee. This is Heather. This isn't Dee Dee.
No.
But I want to get to her.
Just, I've been at work all day, and this is about the best he's gonna get.
Well, it's Christmas, you know. Yeah. It's Christmas. I didn't even know if we were gonna do this week. I know everyone's really busy. So.
Yeah.
But I want to get your response. So Natalie says that her being bullied and not being able to trust women at such a young age is what triggered the response of her throwing Sophie's drink in the air. She took the cup, she launched it in the air. It didn't hit anyone on the way down, but I want to know, like, is that like a correct excuse or warrant for the way that Natalie reacted to Sophie? And then we're going to get into the Jasmine part too, but how do you feel about that?
Okay. So first of all, I don't want to offend anybody, first of all, because it's like, you know, I have to go on for a minute.
Excuse me.
Bless you. And I just, okay, is there any Natalie fans on your show? Like, I need to know ahead of time. Like,
whose feelings are you? Not really. Okay. No, not really.
Okay, good. So let me just say this. That's a poor excuse. Like, first of all, you tell me. Like, I'm not going to say everybody, but what good amount of girls haven't been bullied in their life that turned out to be amazing, kind-hearted people? Even some of the bullies themselves woke up, grew up, got their head and life together, and, you know, turned out to be great people. So I understand that, like, people have, like, triggers and they have, like, things that set them off. We all do. But, like, for her to act that way on the show, to me, was just ridiculous. There's no reason to act so immaturely. Like, honestly, okay, as a female perspective, she could be like, whoa, that girl's talking to my man, you know, and be like, whatever. But for her to tell the doctor, like, the reason why I did this is because I was bullied. You're like... I don't know, how old is she? Late 30s? Like, according to Sophie, she's like 80. But I know that's not right. So
according to the show, she's 38. Okay. But there are people who will argue that she's been 38 for too long. She's probably older than that. But according to the show, she's 38, going on 30.
We'll keep her in the 30s bracket.
Yeah.
So she's somewhere between 30 and 39. So she's somewhere between that.
Yeah.
Basically, I think that she could have... stop making excuses for her behavior and start taking some ownership. And that's one thing that Natalie has always lacked, back to when she was on the regular 90 Day Fiancé show.
Yeah.
She never took accountability for her own actions. And well, it seems like even with her being an absentee, she didn't learn, and she's still that way.
It still feels like on this show, she feels that she didn't do anything wrong and Josh is the problem, which I don't want to be like positive towards Natalie, but Josh is part of the problem. Like, let's be real, because he's leading her to believe there's a relationship there. And I know that Natalie is delusional, right? So if you make her think that you're giving her a little bit of attention, that's like a lot of attention to her. So I'm not saying that Josh is like telling her, oh yeah, I love you, we're gonna get married, I want you to have my kids. I don't think he's doing that, but I think by going to see her when he's in LA, sleeping with her, paying her rent, but he bought her a car,
yeah,
it's giving her the idea that, well, if he didn't care for me at all, he wouldn't do this for me. Because, you know, there's plenty of men that know her,
yeah,
who aren't doing sure those things. So I don't think that she's fully to blame. I think her delusion got her this far. You know, 3 years and you've never been to his house, that's delusion, right? Like, there's no real future in a relationship if you can't locate where this person lives, right? Because in my opinion, you're just dating an axe murderer. Because if you know this person, they only come and see you, or I mean, more realistically, you're the side chick. If he only comes to see you, he only calls and texts you, you can't get a hold of him any other time, and you don't know where he lives, you're yeah the side chick. He's hiding you from his family, which any well, yeah normal woman would figure this out in 3 years, right? It doesn't take
maybe
3 years for you to figure out.
Minutes.
Well, yeah.
I don't think it would take everybody 3 years. I mean, if you ask somebody, I'm sorry, my cat is going crazy running through the house. If you like take a moment and you're dating somebody, let's say, and you're like, oh my God, you know, like I want to be with you, whatever. And he was like doing things for you going out with you, but he's like, you can't come to my house. Like, no, you can't see where I live. Okay, first of all, red flag. Are you, like you said, did you kill somebody? Like, am I the other woman? Like, there would be so many things that would go through my head. Why can't I see where you live? Like, is it a respect aspect for like your children? Like, maybe you want to, you know, see if our relationship goes somewhere before you introduce me to your kids. But even then, like, couldn't it be a time where I can still see your house?
Josh's daughter and his son, Jet's out of high school. He's like an adult now, and his daughter's in school. Because the first thing I thought was, bring her to the house when the kids are at school or the kids are out doing something, just so she can see that you actually live in a house and you're not like some weirdo that lives in a motel. Like, just at least show her that it's a real place.
Yeah.
And, you know, exactly. no normal woman would have put up for this long without that respect. She does deserve to know that you do live somewhere. And I think, in my opinion, this is strictly my opinion. I've heard this, but I can't prove it. Josh and his kid's mom are very close.
Okay.
And she still lives in the house.
Well, there you go.
From what I've understood, there's no real relationship sexually or anything, but it's just been an easier situation for the kids. Mm-hmm. And the dad, they're all in the same place. And, you know, it's a great situation for the kids, but it makes it weird for Josh to try to date, and probably weird for his wife to try to date, because you live with, they're still married. You know, like, this makes everything weird. And, you know, when Josh and Natalie got involved, Natalie was still married. Josh was still married. These are all huge red flags that they should have noticed in the beginning. Like, y'all are both still married to other people. You probably should be trying to date each other until you fix those issues, that baggage, right? Like, if you're still married, regardless of the situation, you should figure out what's going on there before you bring other people into it. So, again, I think Josh is an issue in this situation. Natalie is the bigger issue. You know how there's like a circle and it's like a pie chart? Natalie's like 90% of that pie chart, but Josh is still on the pie chart. He's still about 20% of the, or 10% of the problem. He's leading her to believe that there's a future. And I think he's not doing a lot to do that, but it's her delusion.
I was under the impression that they were already done and over with. So I was kind of surprised to see them on this show, because
the thing is, the show was filmed 268 days or 269 days ago. Somebody has a running clock. So we're going back almost a full year.
Okay.
But I believe what you're saying is true. When the show was airing, they were not together. Just like Rob and Sophie, when the show started to film, Rob and Sophie weren't together. Binium and Ariella were not together. So this was technically their last resort to try to fix things. So technically, you're not wrong. These people were not dating each other when the show was being filmed.
Okay. Since this is like a show and you can talk freely and give your opinions on everything, I'm going to go ahead and just say what I think maybe some people, I don't want to say everybody, but like some people might be thinking, like, why these people? Why these couples this season? Like, I feel like, and like I said, this is solely just my opinion. I don't know anything more, just what I think. I feel as though they want to keep the show going, and they literally picked these people and gave them a storyline. Because I really don't feel as though these couples are either one, truly still together, or two, like, they're perfectly fine together and they created drama to keep it going. Because, like, for instance, like Brandon and Julia, I don't feel like there's anything really wrong with them. I really don't. Like,
well,
I mean, you were telling, but yeah, not like
you were telling me before they've been traveling. And you know what? I've said that about Stacey and Florian. I don't believe that there's any real issues there. I definitely believe that of all the twins, Darcy's the one that has the most relationship issues. I don't know if you saw recently, like within the last week, she posted that she's single. You know, she's married to Georgie. So I think they got the wrong twin for the show. Like, Florian and Darcy don't have real issues. I think Florian has learned to deal Florian and Stacey don't have issues. He's learned how to deal with Stacey, and Stacey's learned how to deal with him. And also, I think Florian is really quiet, and I don't see him as a go out in Miami every night and and flirt and hook up with girls type. Georgie, I see as that type.
Yeah.
But I don't see it as fun. So again, I think they got the wrong twin. And like you said, Brandon and Julia, they got the wrong couple. Like if you really want to convince media,
literally, and I don't even follow them, but like they literally came up on my like For You page. And then I was obviously like in just like, wait, let me watch this for a second. You know, like you're scrolling and you're like, wait a second, I'm intrigued by this. And it was like different TikToks and they were like going around the world to like different countries and they're smiling and taking pictures together. And, you know, they're like, oh, I'm traveling. And it's like, okay, I feel like the cast members having social media really ruins any of the shows for me. Like any of the shows, they should just be on private while you're filming. Put yourself on private because people like gossip sites, fans, whoever, they follow the people and then they don't even keep up with the show. They'll sit there and post that they've had a baby already. Like, why am I reading on blog sites that Tiger Lily was already pregnant and had a baby and we're not even there yet on the yeah. season? It's like, talk about major spoiler alert. And I think that's what ruins a lot of these reality shows for me now, because it's like you can literally be in real time on their social media and then you're watching the shows. You're like, this is old. They broke up. I just saw it. On their, you know, they're with somebody else married with three kids. Like, this is old. But yeah. I don't know. It's just, I wish they would just be private just until they're done filming so we don't get any type of spoiler alert.
It used to be that way. And when Darcy and Stacey had their own show, anytime they were filming, they both went private on their Instagrams for the entire duration of filming, which I thought made more sense. And it did. It preserved a lot of interest in the show. Like, I remember one season ended, Darcy broke up with Georgie. Then the next season aired, they were getting ready to get married. So, and we didn't get to see what was in between because her and Georgie both privated their Instagrams. So they were out doing stuff together. We just didn't see it, which it, at least it made us want to watch the show. And exactly. So Rob and Sophie are doing a sex therapy challenge, and it seems like Sophie is repulsed by Rob's body.
Yeah.
Right? And
it's always so cringe when they do sexual stuff on these shows. It's always so cringe. Like, they don't even look like they want to do it half the time, let alone us viewers wanting to watch
it. And I don't know if that's just because there's a full camera crew watching them do it, or if they really are repulsed by each other. Like, we're watching Sophie, and Sophie is just like, I just don't want to touch you. I don't want to be. And actually, Biniam, it's really funny because Biniam was like red light to everything. And Ariella moved in his direction, and he was like, red light. Like, no, don't even look at me. I'm just, and it's really interesting because couples that have been married for as long as these people have can't even stomach like being around each other. Like, we watched last week and Ariella was like, oh, Biniam won't talk to me. They're literally at this resort together. They're at this club and the people are asking like, oh, where's your husband? She's like, I don't know. He doesn't talk to me. And it's like, y'all are married. You have a kid. You clearly have been on TV for all these years. You lived together for all these years. You moved to his country and lived with him. And now y'all can't even hold a conversation with each other. So it's like, we get both ends of the spectrum. We get people who are pretending to hate each other. And then we get Ariella and Biniam who really actually hate each other. So like, we don't have anything in the middle. It's like people that are acting like they have issues because they'll probably be on another season of something later. And then we have people that are already broken up. Well, Benny made it very clear. He did the show so he can get his social media passwords back. So Ariella stole his social media passwords. When she found out that he was cheating, he was kissing a girl on TikTok, and she went and changed the password to all his social media. So he literally said on day one, he was like, well, I'm only here to get my passwords back. So when she's trying to touch him, he's like, don't touch me. Give me my damn passwords, right? Like, he's like, what makes you think that I want to touch you? I just want my passwords so I can go about my life.
Did you ever get anyone's outside opinion from all the shows that you ever do on how the fans feel about this spinoff in general?
Well, most people don't like this spinoff because it's the same exact people that we've been dealing with for multiple seasons.
And I agree.
Like, and I know it wouldn't make sense if we did a show called The Last Resort and we are just meeting the people, because then we wouldn't understand how we got here. Like, how did we get two people that hate each other? So I understand they're like, oh, well, these people have all done 2 to 3 seasons already, some of them 5 and 6. They'll understand the relationship. But a lot of people are like, well, Rob and Sophie, this is their 3rd back-to-back season. Gino and Jasmine, this is their 4th season. Not back to 3 of them were back-to-back, then they took 1 season off, and now they're back on The Last Resort. People are just really tired of the same people.
Yeah.
And it's just oversaturated with the same couples for too long.
And I feel like that's the problem with TLC or 90 Day Fiancé, is that they don't listen to the fans or the viewers for what they want. I know I have been watching since the beginning of time, where people that I barely even remember who were on the show, because they're no longer on, nor do they follow them anymore. And I'm sitting here like, okay, I definitely would like to know what Nicole and Azin are doing right now, you know? But we don't get the follow-ups for the people that actually made good TV. And we keep having to see, you know, Ed and Angela and Gino and Jasmine, and it's like, and it's nothing against them as like people, because I'm not here to bash anybody. It's just the fact that it's like you said, it's old news. We've already stretched their life or their storyline as far as you possibly can. Like lately I feel like I've watched like a hit or miss, like a season, I'll skip it if it's the same people, and I still can come back after missing it and be like, oh, Gino and Jasmine, they're still trying to make things work, when you know they literally hate each other or broken up like forever ago. Like,
oh, speaking of, so Jasmine and Gino both were maybes for the adding a 3rd person to the relationship, but for different reasons. So Gino, being a man, he was like, oh yeah, we can add another woman, you know, and that would be fun. And then Jasmine was like, oh, well, since I'm not satisfied in this relationship, how about I just get a separate person altogether to sleep with? So how do you feel about that? Because Jasmine made it clear that this wasn't a threesome vibe for her. She just wants a guy that she can have sex with and then, I guess, just live with Gino. Like, is that a relationship? I mean, I guess it is. That's called an open relationship, right?
We knew that already, George. We knew that. Like, we can go back to the last season they were on together, when they were fighting then about stepping out on the relationship. Like, let's not act like we didn't see Jasmine freak out because Gino was talking to an ex or sending pics or texts to an ex, or Jasmine talking to that one guy. I don't remember his name now, but
Matt.
Well,
you're talking about Dane, but then more recently there was Matt. Matt is the guy that she called on the episode, and he's her really close friend.
Yeah.
But we found out that she's been spending nights at his house.
So why is it that America can catch on to what's going on, but you live in the same house as each other and you can't even figure out what's going on? That's why I said, whatever they're selling to me, I can't buy, because it's like, first of all, you're in the same house, or you say you're in the same house. You know for a fact that your wife is talking to some other guy who's not you. We all know how Jasmine feels because she's very outspoken.
Yeah.
So clearly we know how she feels about Gino. She'll tell you straight up, like, I'm not touching you, I'm not sleeping with you, I'm not, you know, whatever. And it's like, why isn't he seeing this, you know? Or maybe he is and they don't, you know, they want him to play along. I don't know. But
they were excited when they accidentally slept in the same bed. They were like, ooh, we accidentally slept in the same bed. This is progress. And I'm like,
I thought they ended up actually sleeping together because of how giddy he was acting. And then when she's like, oh no, we didn't do anything. And I'm like,
yeah, they did nothing. And it was probably just because they were extremely tired and drunk. And they just fell out in the same bed. And they're like, oh, we're making progress. And I was like, if you think this is progress, y'all have been married for, oh my gosh, 2 years. You haven't had sex in 9 months. And then you accidentally sleep in the same bed and you think things are getting better. Right? Like, that's not progress at all. Like, there are people that meet each other the same night and end up in the same bed the same day, you know, and they're not even married. So I was like, you've got a lot of issues. And then Jasmine is looking for a 3rd person to add into their relationship just for her. And so what do you think about the open relationship thing? Are you surprised that Jasmine would be an open relationship type person? Because she made it pretty clear when she was dating Gino. I don't know if you remember. She tracked his location. And if he had to go anywhere in public, they had to be on FaceTime. And she would make sure, like, if he would go pick up food, if there was a female girl that was at the restaurant, she had to have the camera on the girl to make sure that Gino wasn't flirting.
That's a lot
with
of
the girl.
So, yeah, there's a lot of them like that.
But then she turns around and says she wants her own boyfriend in this marriage. It kind of is.
Read between the lines. She doesn't want an open relationship. She wants somebody other than him. So basically what she's saying is that she's going to have an open relationship. Hence, one side is open, the other side is closed. She can probably go and do whatever she wants. She's not saying that he can. There's people that are like that, where they have like a one-sided open relationship. I don't know how they make it work, but somehow they do.
Doesn't it seem like now she doesn't really care what Gino's doing? Like, based on when she was in Panama, she had his location on. And if he ventured anywhere from where she thought he should be, she would call. But like now, it seems like now that she's here and they're married, she couldn't care less. Gino could literally be anywhere. She wouldn't even look for him. I feel like she's not even worried about his whereabouts now that she's here. And she's got her green card, right? Like, I think that she's basically like, I could care less what he does. I think she might actually be relieved or happy if he was at some woman's house, right? Because then it would make her feel a little better about what she's doing, right? I feel like if he was doing it, and I think that's what makes her feel bad, is because she's checked out, she's over it, she doesn't want to deal with him anymore, but he's still in the relationship and trying. Yeah. So I think that it's a little guilt, because she's
I think it's like one of those situations where it's like a one-sided or a catch-22. Like Tracy937, she just said, hold on, I'm going back to her comment. When she was talking about last season or the last time they were on, and she went off on him because he was at a strip club. And I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
She like went crazy, because it's just like what I was saying. Like, she wants her cake and eat it too. She might be checked out, so she wants to go and be, you know, fulfilled elsewhere, but she don't want that to happen for Gino. He has to be miserable and sit at home and wait for her.
Interesting, do you remember on Happily Ever After, it was Rob's birthday, and he was in his hometown. I think he's from St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken. He was in Missouri for his hometown for his birthday. Sophie was in Texas with Kay. And she was calling Rob because Rob went to a club with his friends for his birthday. And she's telling Rob, like, well, don't go talk to girls and don't go do anything, you know, that would be disrespectful towards me, your wife. She didn't even bother to go to his birthday party. They hadn't been speaking. They weren't living together. She had moved out months prior, but she didn't like the idea of Rob having a good time on his birthday. But she was allowed to live with Kay and do whatever she wanted. Rob didn't even know like an address where to find his wife. I keep stressing that. Cause he, remember when he went over there to talk to her, he had to wait outside in the hallway for her to come out. He didn't know which door to knock on. But when she thought that Rob might be talking to another girl, it pissed her off. And yeah, it's like, I think that's the same thing you're describing with Natalie, or no, with Jasmine. It's fine if they do it, but if you do it, you know, it's a one-sided situation. And I think Sophie has been holding on to Rob and making sure Rob doesn't find anyone else. But in the back of my mind, I always see Sophie being repulsed by him. She doesn't want him, but she sure as hell doesn't want anybody else to want him, because that's like her territory for some reason. It's just strange to me, because it's like, if you don't want to deal with someone, if you don't want to be with someone, why do you want to hold them back from moving on? Like, I don't understand that.
I don't know. It's like they didn't finish whatever it is they have going on, but they let their heart go elsewhere. So instead of trying to maybe salvage where they're at to, like, you know, maybe break up with each other, they just mentally are like, well, I'm going to go ahead with this person, but I got this person if something falls through. Like, almost kind of like a backup plan.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I didn't know this. This is not 90 Day related, but I'm like a huge Megan Fox fan and everything. And I was reading on stuff with her, and apparently, this is allegedly, because I don't know, this is just blog sites, but they had stated that when she was in a relationship with Brian Austin Green, which is her baby's father and ex-husband, she they said it, yeah, allegedly, thank you. She was in a one-sided open marriage. And I don't know if that's like a situation that they had going on, but like he couldn't see other females, but she could date other people if she wanted. So oh. Maybe it's more popular than we know. I mean, well, I don't know.
I think it's interesting because a lot of times it involves a woman. Like women are allowed to do it, but men aren't. Do you think it goes both ways? You think there's men who are in that situation too, or you think it's more of a women?
Men just do it behind closed doors. Women will do it openly, but then they'll expect the man to like go along with it. Men will have a chick on the side and not say anything. It will go both ways, but it won't work both ways. That's all I'm
Sophie, Sophie and Rob were also in the section for the threesome. So this goes with your theory of have your cake and eat it too, because Rob's basically, his response was, I'm surprised she wants to have sex with a random guy because she doesn't want to have sex with me. But like you said, it's a one-sided open thing. Like, well, I don't want you to have any more fun with anyone else, but if it's up to me, I would love to go out and be with someone else. And also Julia was in the same category. So Julia, who Brandon called a whore in this episode, I don't know if you noticed that. He said she dresses and acts like a whore, which is a crazy thing to say to your wife, right? Like, I can't imagine calling your wife a whore because she...
What happens when two people that are complete opposites get together and then don't, they try to change each other? Because Julia has always been this crazed party girl type of person. And I want to say she was like a go-go dancer in her country, right?
Yeah. She was a go-go dancer, which when we looked into it, I remember when she said it, it's basically like a stripper, but they don't show anything. But basically like they're dancing. Go-go
dancers where they stand on like it's a club and they're on like risers and they have like the boots, the thigh high boots and everything, like next to nothing maybe.
But they don't show any body parts, but it's provocative. It's very provocative.
Okay. So yeah. So he went into the relationship knowing that. And she's always been like piercings, like I don't know if she has tattoos or not, but like just kind of like party girl out there. And he's so vanilla. He is so like, he was a mama's boy and he was just like on a farm and he was just like the complete opposite of her. So well, of course he's gonna come through and be like, oh no, you're not dressed head to toe in turtleneck and in trousers. Like you're
when he met her, she was dressed the way she's dressed. So it's interesting. He met her
in person. Right. Like, and I agree with Pineapple. She should have slapped him, but no, she did not slap him. She should have checked him on national TV and embarrassed his ass for trying to embarrass her. Because how are you going to be married to somebody and they have the nerve to fix their mouth to disrespect you like that when they know that you're just being your authentic self?
Yeah.
It's not like she put on this character and was like, you know what? I'm going to go on here and I'm going to wear this outfit and I'm going to be slutty. She's being her. Like, and I'm not saying she's slutty. I'm just saying she's just carefree and she looks good. I mean, she's, you know, I mean, you said that she's not very pretty, but
she's not.
I think she's pretty.
She's not my type. But she's someone's type. Like, I'm okay, not...
She's Brandon's type. Yeah, but, you know, I think that she's a cute girl. And I don't really see anything wrong with what she's wearing. She wears stuff that, like, every young person, woman, whatever, especially with a good body, wears. Like, I don't see anything wrong with it. She didn't have anything hanging out. I mean, heaven forbid. If we look at all these 90 Day Fiancé people and all their wardrobes that they've worn...
Well, let's just say Stacey was showing way more skin last week on the show than Julia. Stacey, there was basically...
up her butt with her shorts on the exercise they were doing. They were taking off her boots. Because I commented that she like had discoloration, which I thought maybe was a tan line. But you had mentioned that she has a skin disease, which I didn't know.
Yeah, her and
but
Stacey
I shouldn't be able to see that. You're wearing shorts. Like, I shouldn't be able to see your woman parts because, you know, you're on camera for the whole world to see. But that's what I'm saying. Like, just don't be disrespectful. Bottom line, don't be disrespectful, especially to your wife, your girlfriend, period. Like she wasn't doing anything that was out of pocket that you didn't already know she did in the first place.
Well, I always bring up the Usher song. It's called I Don't Mind. And he wrote a song and it's basically, he's explaining how if you meet a girl in the club or she's a stripper or whatever, she dances on a pole, you can't get mad at her when you marry her that she's a stripper and dances on a pole. And it's so true. Cause I'm like, I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs. Y'all go listen, go stream that. It's Usher's song, I Don't Mind. And it's like so interesting though, because men, we see this on the show a lot, especially like Muslim men, they'll go find the tatted girl who dresses provocative, her boobs are hanging out, her butt's hanging out, and then they get married and he's like, I need you to go put on a full burqa right now. And it's like, you can't change a woman. What attracted you to the woman is who she is. So don't go and take her and then say, oh, I love this. I love what you're doing. I love the way you carry yourself. But now that we're married, go put on a full burqa and hide everything. I only want to see your eyes. Like, that's crazy to me.
That's why I should have did the show yesterday with you on that 90 Day Fiancé, because I have a whole bunch of opinions on the people on that show, because it goes like what you said. Like, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. So it's almost like, why do you feel like you have to be the person to either save people or change people? It's like, take the person for who they are or don't take them at all.
Yeah, I agree. Changing
Especially when people. It's a religious thing, like Tiger Lily. Good. I'm sorry, my cat's making noise in the background. Especially with like Tiger Lily, when like she plays like she doesn't know the outcome of her situation. Like, you married somebody that has a strict religion and you're having a baby with them. So it's like, don't be surprised if somewhere down the line he doesn't like the way you're dressed or something like that. It's just, everybody knows. It's just the culture thing. That's the whole point of it. And I guess as many seasons as 90 Day Fiancé has had, I don't know. People still don't catch on to that. So,
well,
but back to the show.
it's the same story over and over. I think we've said it's a carbon copy story every time. With it's what we just saw. Veya and Sunny, they're in the same place there, and we know where Adnan and Tiger Lily are going. We know where the story ends, right? It's like we keep watching the story over and over, and it's kind of annoying watching the same thing. Oh, but I want one more thing before we end. Natalie had a comment tonight with the doctor, and she said that I feel like I don't deserve to be loved. And I, you know, my mind automatically went to like, well, you don't, but I don't want to go there because everybody deserves to be loved. But you know, we have our feeling of how she treats people, and Jasmine made it pretty clear last week, like, you treat people like shit, and it's like sometimes you get what you get. But I think Natalie's reaction and the way that she drives people away and how she can't keep a normal relationship. So remember, she was with Mike. Mike loved her. Mike was out working, taking care of her. Every moment that she was with that man, she hated it. She hated his house. She hated where he lived. She hated his job. She hated his mom.
He treated her too well. So.
Too good, right? Literally too good. She was like, oh, I don't like his house. I don't like where we live. I feel like he lived on like this huge lot of land. She's like, oh, I feel like I live with an axe murderer. And then his mom, Trish, came over.
You're the axe murderer, crazy.
He said Trish called her a hooker at Thanksgiving dinner. Like, I was like, the reason why Natalie has these issues is the underlying issue. So the doctors are doing their job. She doesn't believe that she deserves to be loved. And I think that that's the root of the issue. And when she learns how to love herself and teach herself that she does deserve to be loved, maybe she'll stop acting like a batshit crazy person. And she'll start appreciating what she has. Mike was the best husband she was ever going to get. Period. End of discussion. Let's not forget, Natalie's been married like 3 or 4 times. Like, let's not forget that. Mike was like number 3 or 4. I can't remember the exact number. Maybe 3. And he was the best person. He treated her, like you said, he was out of her league. He was too good for her. He loved her too much. And he let her get away with too much. But it's her fault for running away a good man. And if you remember on the Single Life Tell All, she brought Josh and Mike there and tried to get with both of them. Do you remember that? She's literally going back and forth. When Josh said, I don't want to marry you, she then turns to Mike and starts saying, well, let's work this out. And she doesn't appreciate, value, and understand what she has. But that root issue is she doesn't believe that she's supposed to be loved because she doesn't think she deserves it. So the doctor is actually doing their job. When she is able to figure out why she doesn't think she deserves love, that's when she can start acting like a normal person and be in a normal relationship. And I think that that's the key of that, because she's not a normal person. She's never been in a normal relationship, but she's dated normal people. She's the abnormal person. She's the common denominator as to why things never work out for her.
Yeah. And, you know, I do like how you said that she needs to learn to love herself before she can love somebody else. It's a very powerful statement. Somebody once said that to me, and I looked at them like they were crazy, like I was Natalie. Like, I was like, what are you talking about? Of course I love myself. But you have to literally think. Like, this is like a very big, deep-rooted, like, question and you know, moment that you have to take thought and be like, oh my God, like, what is that person saying when they say that to me? So I think you are very spot on by saying that. Unfortunately, I believe that with Natalie's case, she is very self-absorbed and unaware of what's going on because she lives in this little bubble that she's in. Because I, like I said in the beginning, she doesn't take accountability for her actions. Yeah. I believe that she says a lot of stuff to get a rise out of people. And she likes when she plays the victim. She likes when people feel bad for her. So judging by saying, oh, I threw this glass because of something that happened to me in middle school, when you probably would have, like, you know, that would have been fixed by now. That was a while ago. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like as a woman getting older, you would be like, okay, you know, we grow, we learn. But I think that she is an attention seeker. So, but what you said was spot on, though. I think she definitely needs to do that, but I don't know if she'll ever learn that lesson.
Well, being married so many times and not catching on, you know, you have to be self-aware of your issues. And if you believe you're never doing anything wrong, you'll never be self-aware enough to learn from your mistakes. And I think Natalie is never going to be self-aware enough to see that she's part of the problem. It's always Josh is a whore, Josh is a cheater, Josh is a liar, Mike doesn't pay attention to me, Mike is always at work. It's always somebody else is making her life miserable. She never plays any part of those in that. And it's like when in a relationship or in a marriage, no one is ever 100% at fault. Somebody is doing something horrible, somebody's doing something terrible, and then it's chaos. But no one is ever, because even if one person is cheating and the other person isn't, 80% of that is the person cheating, but 20% of that is how did the person get to the place where they thought they couldn't talk to you and they had to go elsewhere. So there's no one is ever fully at fault for anything. There's always shared responsibility and accountability. But like you said, accountability is a foreign term for Natalie, just like Vegas. Like, she can't say Vegas. It's a foreign term. Accountability is unpronounceable for now. She don't know what it means. She can't spell it. She doesn't know what accountability does, how it works. Just like she can't say Vegas. Invite me to Vegas. Invite me to Vegas, Josh. It is what it is. And Natalie, we love you. I want you to get help. I want you to fall in love and get married for the 100th time. I think you deserve it. But the work that you need to put in to get there, you got to dedicate yourself to doing that work. And, you know, if we don't particularly want to watch it, you know, I think we've seen enough of you. But if you do fall in love, I'll be happy for you. Like I said, when David Murphy passed away, I made this statement on another podcast. I was like, all of these people on the show, they're like a part of a family. Like, we're all this tight-knit community. And no matter what I say about people, I want to make it very clear. I never want anything to happen to them. I want them to be happy and thrive and live and do well. But I will call you out and drag you through the mud when you do something stupid. But that doesn't mean that I want anything bad to happen to you. I respect you as a human being. But, you know, for entertainment purposes, I will drag you through the mud a little bit. It is what
it is. That's all it is. The last and final line. That's all it is. This is strictly for entertainment purposes. They put themselves on TV. And our job is to watch it and be entertained or complain about how we're sick of seeing them. That's just basically what it is. We're voicing a strong opinion and we don't know you personally. We know what you show us on TV. So if you don't want people to see you in that light, be careful on how you portray yourself and people won't view you that way.
So Photomom mom says, funny how she throws that hooker term out when that's what Mike's mom called her. So, okay, so I was on X and I was tweeting, last thing before we end, and I was like, it's interesting that she's using the word hooker because she's having sex with Josh. She doesn't know where he lives. He pays her rent and he bought her a car. That kind of makes her a hooker, right? So it's funny that she's calling Sophie, a married woman, a hooker, when the irony is she's the one that's the side chick getting paid for having sex with Josh. I'm not saying that she's getting paid for having sex with him, but they have sex and then he does stuff for her. So it's funny how she's using these terms. And again, it's self-projection. But I think that it's inside. She's got work to do. And, you know, I think Dee Dee is the one that always said the guilty dog barks first. So when you see people projecting things onto you, sometimes it's not about you at all. Like, that wasn't about Sophie. It was about Natalie and how she feels about herself and her relationship and what's going on in her life. But it felt a little better for Natalie to push that onto Sophie. And that made her feel better in that moment. But that's not what it was about. Natalie's got a lot of issues that she's got to work with and deal with. And she's got to learn how to like and get along with other women.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge red flag. If you put a bunch of women in a room and there's one woman who can't seem to get common ground and get along with those other women, there's an issue there. Because you should be able to get along with people. And everyone isn't your competition. And I feel like with Natalie, she has to compete with every woman in the room. And I feel like that's an issue too. The doctors will probably figure it out along the way, but she's got to figure that out too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right, so
they need out on another season, then, you know.
Yeah, now, there's probably not enough time for all of Natalie's issues, right? They would have to hire a team of doctors just to work with Natalie, right? Other people would like to get some time with the doctor, but that's a whole nother situation. But we're gonna wrap. Okay, guys, so this is the last time I'll talk to you guys before Christmas. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever it is that you celebrate. Have a wonderful holiday. I hope that you get to spend it with your family and the people that you love. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for supporting me all year. I can't wait to talk to y'all again after the holidays. Thank you to Heather for joining. I'll tag her in the video. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Thanks for tuning in to the George Massey Show.
Yes, for having me, and thank you guys. It was nice chatting with all of you for this hour, and happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays. Follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anyway, it's your podcast. Type in the George Massey Show. Thank you guys. Everybody have a wonderful holiday. Bye.
Bye, guys.